I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 19. The lesson or sermon is called Your Relationship with the Scorner. With the Scorner. We're going to talk about what a scorner is this evening. We're going to talk about how a scorner is to be handled. And we'll learn something this evening that will help us. Proverbs chapter 19, if you will. Once you arrive at Proverbs chapter 19, I want you to turn to verse number 23. Proverbs 19, 23. Once you find Proverbs 19, 23, would you stand with me, please? Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 23. Proverbs 19, 23. The Bible says this: The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Verse 25 is the verse that will help us with tonight's sermon. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Now, we're going to use that verse to help us tonight, but let's pray. Father, bless us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would reach down and teach us the Bible. I would like to be a tool, maybe like a puppet in the Master's hand. I want to teach the Bible in such a way that we understand it, we can live it, it is practical and down to earth, so that our lives are better and the people that we deal with are helped. Now, bless us tonight as we learn this lesson. Please, Holy Spirit of God, minimize the interruptions, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want you to, if you will, in Proverbs 19:25, it says this: Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. I'll tell you a story to get me started. When I worked at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, we had many, many Sunday school classes, over 800 classes every single Sunday. We had to reuse our buildings and our Sunday school rooms. The first group that met were called A Sunday School. And then another wave came in, they were called B Sunday School. And then another wave came in, and they were C Sunday School. And then there was D, E, F, and G. So there were that many different changeovers. And so it would be as if 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. One Sunday school room might be used 7 times in a day. I was superintendent of a couple of the departments. I overseen a department E, and I overseen the department D. The D department, we picked up people from Joliet and Aurora, Illinois. And they sometimes could tend to be a little extra rough. They were not real well-trained people, if you will, but it was important that they came to church and that they learned and that they grew. The story that I'm about to tell you has to do with a teen class, a young man that taught for me. He was I think he was probably in his early 20s. His name was Steve. And Steve taught a teenage boys class, and these boys were from Joliet, Illinois. Well, Steve came to me and he said, Pastor, he said, called me Brother Owens. I was an assistant pastor at that time, but he said, Brother Owens, I'm having a tough time with my teenage boys Sunday school class. I've got a couple older boys in there that they disrupt, and they tend to be disrespectful in class. He said, and what worries me is I've got some younger boys in there, and they want to behave, and they're trying, and they're very sincere. He said, and so I'm not sure what to do. I said, well, Steve, let's set up an appointment where you and I can talk, and I'll give you some teaching techniques, and we'll talk about some things, and let's see if I can help you. And we had an appointment, and I said, Steve, it's only fair. Let's see if it's you, not the student. And sometimes if a teacher can't keep the attention of the student, it's the teacher's fault because the teacher is missing something. Maybe they're not handling something right. And I said it wouldn't be fair for you to be hard on some boys when the problem is actually you. And so I taught him some things, and I said, I want you to try this and try a little of that and do this and try this in class. And so a week or so, maybe a couple Sundays later, he came back and he said, Brother Owens, he said, I'm still having a hard time with this class. I said, well, let me give you a couple more ideas. And I gave him a few more things. And he went back to his class and he tried again. And then he came to me and he said, I'm just at my wit's end. He said, I've tried everything that you've told me to try. I've prayed. I've loved them. I've just tried everything I know. I walked by the class one Sunday, and they were disrespectful. There's some guys in there that were just misbehaving and interrupting, and they were interrupting the other classes. And so when class was over with that day, I called Steve aside, and I said, Steve, I'm going to come visit your class next week. I said, and I'm going to take care of your problem, and we're going to fix it. And I said, now when I take care of it, you just sit there. I'll attend to it. We'll see if we can fix the problem. So the next week they started class, and as usual, disruption. The same couple of older boys were being rude and unkind and not paying attention and being disrespectful. And so I walked in, and to be very honest, I had a plan. I had a plan, and that plan was I was going to throw a fit, and I was going to make sure that those boys understood that they were not going to behave that way. And boy, when I walked in, I said, Steve, sit down for a second. He went right over and sat down. There's some boys that were already goofing off and interrupting, and I slammed my hand down, and boy, they all looked up, and I went over, and I pushed a chair over, and I said, you all listen to me. You have been disrespectful. You are causing chaos. This is God's house. You're not going to act that way. You're not going to disrespect that man right there. He loves you. He's tried everything he knows to try to get your attention, and you still are disrespectful and unkind and disruptive. It's going to stop, and it's going to stop now. You're not going to act that way in church anymore. I'm telling you, those boys' eyes were as big as 50 cent pieces. They turned as white as ghosts. They didn't move an inch. I said, you're going to sit still and you're going to let that man teach you the Bible, or don't come back. We don't want you to come here and disrupt. And you're just not going to act that way. And I said, you're going to sit still and you're going to let him teach you the Bible, and you're going to do as everybody else here does. We're going to show respect. Hey, when we laugh, you can laugh with us, but you're not going to laugh independent of us and mess up this Sunday school class anymore. And I turned around, just as I planned. I slammed the door on my way out. Steve came to me after class that day. He said, best class I've ever had. Best class I've ever had. Next week he came. He said, still works. They're doing fine. For the rest of that year, for that class, I think the boys never left the class. I think they sat there all year long, did not move. They had to cater food in. I told them to sit still and shut up, and I'm not sure a couple of them have spoken to this day. But now, I did what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Now let me explain something. There are three different people mentioned in Proverbs 19:25. There's one that the Bible calls the scorner. Then there's one God called the simple. And then there is the one that we'll deem the smiter. Okay? In my story, the older teenage boys were the scorners. The younger teens, the more pliable ones, were the simple ones, and I get to be the smiter. Bummer. This teaching of smite the scorner, it's a discipline technique. It's a tool in a wise leader's toolbox. It's not a weapon. It's a tool. See, the problem is, someone can take a tool, pick it up, and use it like a weapon. There are people in here, you should not smite the scorner. You'd use the tool wrong. You'd be an abuser of a tool. Smiting the scorner should be required rarely, but it's required sometimes among God's people. It can be an act of love if it's handled properly. When you smite the scorner, the truth is, if you're doing it the right way, you can show love to the scorner. You can show love for the simple one. That's another character in that scripture. And then there's a certain love that you're expressing for the doing of right or for the scripture. But like any other Bible teaching, there's a right and a wrong way to carry it out. Again, it's a leadership tool. Its purpose is to protect, not to destroy. I want to talk to you about the scorner for a little while. Before I do so, I want to say to everybody in here, you should make sure you're not the scorner. You don't want to be a scorner. Then may I say that when we deal with scorners, there's a right and a wrong way to do it. And so as whether it's in Sunday school or on a bus route or in church or if it's on your block where you live or at school, there's a right and a wrong. Hey, at work, there's a right and a wrong way to handle a scorner. Then may I also say, young people, look up this way. Don't play with your telephones and don't play during church. When you are dealing with the scorner, young people, make sure that if your friend is a scorner, I would be distancing myself from them. You say, why? Well, in a little while, the Bible talks about the punishment of the scorner. And if you're with them when the punishment's being doled out, you're probably going to get end up in trouble. And this isn't a scripture, but it pretty well tells a story. If you play with dogs, you're going to end up with fleas. If you're spending time with a scorner, you're more than likely going to become like the scorner. That's a dangerous thing. Now, stay with me. I'm going to teach this in a very simple fashion because I think it's necessary. First of all, the scorner. Proverbs 21:24 says, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." Now, here's the scorner. And the Bible says the scorner has a pride problem. The Bible said there, the scorner is haughty. That's cocky or arrogant. And folks, there's a difference in arrogance and confidence. This person is proud. They're haughty. Then it says they probably also have a wrath or a temper problem. It uses these words, proud and haughty, scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The scorner is akin to the Bible character called the fool. The fool. The scorner knows the difference between right and wrong. He chooses wrong knowingly and on purpose. I would say, in my years working with Bible colleges and Christian schools, 9 out of 10 expulsions from a Christian school comes from a scorner, somebody that knows the difference between right and wrong, and they have chosen wrong on purpose. The scorner's not struggling to overcome a desire to do wrong. He's made a conscious decision to do wrong. This scorner, his behavior, it's not an accidental fall. He knows he's got an attitude problem. He's feeding his attitude problem. Scorning has to do with pride and an arrogant attitude, and it's out of control. The tongue's out of control. The body's out of control because of it, even to the point of becoming evil. Now, that describes the scorner. Now, let's go to the second character in that verse. God spoke of the simple person. The simple person. Remember what it said? Smite the scorner. We've already described the scorner. And the simple will beware. There's a second person, the simple person. Let me talk to you about the simple person. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 5, the Bible says, "O ye simple, understand wisdom, And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. This simple person, who are they? What are they like? The simple one is untrained and needs understanding, according to that verse. Did you hear what it said? O ye simple, understand wisdom. See, God is saying the simple person needs to gather some wisdom. It said, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Now, see, the simple one, they're untrained and they need some understanding. They don't understand wisdom. The simple one is young in the Lord. Now, somebody could be simple and be older in years, but they're new to the Lord. Let's face it, a 5-year-old that gets saved is a new convert. A 50-year-old that gets saved is a new convert. They're both new in the Lord. They both could have a lack of wisdom about the Bible. They both could have a lack of understanding about the Bible. Then they both, in that area of life, get to claim the title simple. You've heard someone say of someone else that they're so simple. They're simplistic in their thinking. Sure. The simple one has an immaturity concerning right and wrong. The simple one may struggle with wrong, but they do want victory, and they've not decided that they want wrong as a way of life. We may have somebody come into our church, and they're simple, and they have some behavioral problems, but that's how they've lived all their life. And they haven't been trained all their life, and they're just doing what they had been doing, and they're doing it habitually because that's all they know. And we're trying to re-gear them to a new way of life, and they will adjust, and they want to adjust. If you ask them, say, do you want to live in a rebellious fashion? They would say, no, I'm trying to learn. Now, there are others that they want to be rebellious in their attitude. The simple are yet in training, if you will. The simple are not set in their ways, but are in the process of establishing their ways. And they may do wrong, but not because they woke up and said, you know what I think I'll do? I'll just do wrong. They may do wrong because doing wrong is so easy, and that's what they've done all along, and they're just repeating habitually what they've done to this point in their life. Are they saying, I want to be a rebel? No. They're just doing what comes easy. Simple people are that way. When a baby dirties their diaper, do you think that baby is a rebel? In most cases, no. Oh, now an older child could do that very same thing on purpose, trying to make a statement. But you say, well, that little baby that just had that's an accident. That baby didn't do that rebelliously. Right. They're simple to understanding what is expected in regard to that part of life and hygiene. And they're going to learn. And they want to learn. They're simple. Okay, so we've discussed the scorner. We have discussed the simple. Now, I want to talk to you about the word, the smiter. This is the corrector. This is the one that's doing the correcting. The smiter, in the story a moment ago, that was me. The smiter knows the difference between the simple and the scorner. And folks, that is key. A smiter, the corrector, must have the wisdom and the insight to know the difference in the simple one and the scorning one. See, the smiter has insight with people. The smiter has wisdom. Proverbs 21:11 says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Here, the Bible is telling us the wise has knowledge. And he has a knowledge about people. This wise person, he knows how to use his knowledge. In my story, I was the smiter. My teacher, Steve, he didn't quite understand what to do and how to do it. I understood. I understood there were older boys that obviously had proven to be scorners. There were younger boys that were simple. Steve did not know how to use the tool of being a smiter to get things under control. The smiter's one who, the smiter is the one who the wise are in submission to. The smiter has become wise by obeying the scripture and learning people. The smiter knows what is right to do, and they have done it in their own lives. The smiter has to be someone that exercises self-control in the highest level. If you can't control you in my church, you have no place to be a smiter. You say, why? You'll hurt people. You won't handle it right. You'll use the tool of smiting as a weapon instead of as a tool. I don't smite people to destroy people. I smite people in the love of God so that we might do what the scripture says to get situations under control. The smiter, they are the evident leader in this scenario. They have the authority to smite the scorner. The smiter is a leader. The smiter is not just a leader in position, but also in personal self-control. Matter of fact, I think the smiter is not just a leader in position. Get this, they are to be a leader in disposition also. If someone smites, but they don't have the right attitude, they're placing themselves virtually on a rebellious level with the scorner. You don't need two people out of control, one that's out of control correcting, while another is out of control, I was going to say following, but in essence, not following. Does that make sense to you? Stay with me. So, I've described to you the scorner. Then I described to you the simple. Then I've described to you the smiter or the corrector. All right? Now, let's go to point number 4. What does it mean to smite? What does that mean? Well, smiting, it means to strongly correct. It means to wound the arrogance. It means to strongly discipline. It is a punishment technique. And God in this passage here is making an example of someone. I think you all know this. Before it was outlawed in public schools, there was corporal punishment. And so you know, the schools were better when we had it. The schools were better when we had it. The word smite, it has something to do with the casting out. This is a form of punishment. In the scripture, I don't think God is telling you to go to someone and hit them. I think the smiting has to do with the words, the way you handle yourself, you're getting their attention. It is an aggression above the norm. Now here's the problem. When you're always aggressive, rude, unkind, loud, how then can you go above the norm as you discipline? There ought to be a low level of control, and when the smiting is necessary, it is an obvious increase of the assertiveness of the leader. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, when a person is scorning, and they're repetitively taking the place, acting like a scorner, let me tell you what you do. It's my suggestion that the leader privately and kindly try to speak and fix the scorning behavior. This is what I do. If someone's a scorner and they tend to be acting like a scorner, I will get a moment with them alone and I'll say, hey, listen, I really need your help. I really want you to be good. I don't want you to be laughing and carrying on like that. I know you can do this. Now let me tell you, if you take that scorner and if they're running with a pack of wolves, you won't get anywhere attending to it in a pack. If you separate them and very kindly, very gently, we're trying to be just and fair. You don't pull out the biggest stick you have the first time you need to care for something. Now, after you privately and kindly tried to speak to them. You're trying to fix the scorning behavior. And after that's happened, if the scorning continues, you may need to publicly or strongly smite the problem. And this isn't, you're not going to hit somebody. That's not what this is teaching. Matter of fact, let me explain. In this ministry, there's a no-touch policy. You don't grab somebody that's misbehaving. You don't threaten somebody that's misbehaving. You don't go around this church just grabbing and handling all over people. You just don't do that in any way, shape, or form. But in the bus ministry, we have a no-touch policy. We have in our children's church and in our primary church a no-touch policy. You just don't do that. And I got to tell you, if you're prone to temper, you stay away from people with discipline problems because you're not the one that's going to handle it. You're going to make a mess for me. You'll make a mess for my church. If you're a bully, if you like throwing your weight around and being mean to people and rude to people, you'll end up with my name in the paper and our church with a lawsuit because you can't control you. And you know you. You know whether you're temper prone. You know if you can't control yourself. But you're not the one that needs to be disciplining anybody when you can't discipline yourself. If you can't control you, I am not delegating you to discipline anybody else. I plan for this to be so low-key. The smiter has to be very careful. So someone is a scorner, and I go to them, and I privately and I kindly pull them aside, and I try to work with them and build a friendship with them and see if I can help them to adjust and figure out what I expect. Oh, but they continue, so I try again. All right? They've decided now. I have explained to them how to behave. I've been patient. I've instructed. I've tried to grow them. But now they're doing the exact opposite on purpose what I have instructed. Okay. Now I'm going to need to get their attention. Now, let me tell you this. Everyone should be assumed wise or simple at first. I think we should assume everyone to either be wise or simple at first. I let them earn the smiting. In other words, you got to push me. You got to push me. If I have to correct you twice in the same service about not paying attention and playing with your telephone, the third time I correct you, I may embarrass you in front of everybody. That's not my intent. It's not my desire. I don't want to do that. But everybody should at first be assumed simple. They should at first be assumed as wise. Do you know that there was a time in the military, if you scorned your commanding officer, you would be smitten. You'd go behind a barracks. My dad smote the scorner. My dad took care of my attitude problems. And by the way, I love my dad and respect my dad because of the way my dad handled himself. He wasn't out of control. He wasn't as out of control as I was as a young person with yet undeveloped emotions. Anytime a parent's acting like the child, then you're going to have a problem when you're trying to correct things. So, listen carefully. Let me go backwards and get us back to the next point. I've explained to you what the scorner is. I've explained to you what the simple is. I've explained to you the description of the smiter or the corrector. I explained to you what is it, what does it mean to smite. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, why would we smite the scorner? Well, first of all, because the Bible says to. That's why you do what you do. God instructs us to do so. The use of the tool of smiting the scorner, it is something that God teaches. I don't think God wants to go around being rude to people all the time and mean to people all the time. I don't think that's how God works. But I will tell you this. Cross him enough, he will smite the fool. You cross God enough, he will smite you as a scorner toward him. So those that say, oh, God's just love, he's lovey-dovey all the time, you might want to check up a little bit on that. God is a God of love, but God also can, in a pure fashion, hate sin, and God is also a God of wrath, according to the Bible. So, why would we smite the scorner? First of all, because God instructs us to. Then, I think we smite the scorner because the Bible says, smite the scorner to warn the simple. You see, if you have a scorner, let's go back to Steve's Sunday school class. Some older boys were scorners. They knew the difference between right and wrong. They had been instructed. They had been taught. And they were choosing to rebel. They were choosing to disrupt. They were choosing to cause chaos. Okay, now, you remember, there were younger boys in the class. The younger boys were beginning to develop the attitude of the older boys. The Bible teaches you smite the scorner, those are the older boys, and the simple ones will beware. Who's that? That's the younger boys. I'll promise you, when I, through my unfit purpose, the older boys knew what I was talking about. The younger boys, it didn't matter what I was talking about. They weren't going to do whatever it was. They learned from that. And let me explain to you very, very carefully. I decided one Sunday I would go in the next. I planned what I would do the next. I walked into the room in total control. I raised my voice, total control. I said the words that I planned, total control. The tossing of the chair, totally planned. I wasn't flying off the end of my handle. I did what I planned to do. I stepped in the hallway. Steve stepped out and I said, I think that'll take care of you. He said, thanks. I'm not going to do what you just told them not to do either. The problem is there are people that want to use this technique, but they've not earned the right to use the technique. It's not a free-for-all, and I'm mad. Matter of fact, if you don't walk in the Spirit, I wouldn't be going around disciplining people. You'll be in the flesh. You're mad. They irritated you. They rubbed you the wrong way, so you're on it. That's why you don't get along with so many people. Walk in the Spirit. The Spirit will control you. The Spirit will cause you to be patient. The Spirit will cause you to know when to act, how to act, and what to do when you do it. So very few people ought to be taking care of heavy-duty discipline problems because they can't even take care of themselves. So, why smite? God instructs it. Why smite? Because when you smite the scorner, the simple will beware. It trains the simple. It could keep the simple from becoming a scorner. Smiting the scorner, thirdly, could help the scorner to be salvaged. Could keep them from continuing down a bad path. Could wake them up. The Bible says, and listen to this, Proverbs 19:29 says, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Understand something. Scorners and fools, God has special judgments prepared for them. So when someone's a scorner, let me explain. I will try to help them. You say, why? Because they irritated me, and I'm sick of it. No, that's not why. If I don't help them, they're going to face judgment. If I don't help them, they're going to affect the simple. If I don't help them, they're going to affect a lot of people, hurt people. So I'm doing it as a service. And if that is not in the heart of the spider is not mature enough, spiritual enough to be smiting. But smiting the scorner could help the scorner. Number four, smiting the scorner makes the wise realize the benefit of being wise. Look, somebody walks into a classroom and has to assertively, aggressively correct a scorner, the simple say, I just learned something. Wise person says, I'm so glad I behave. I am so glad I do what my parents taught me to do. I'm so glad of that. See, when the scorner is smitten, the wise, they say, wow, there is a benefit in wisdom. There's a benefit in my obedient behavior. Number five, why smite? Smiting the scorner keeps unity and the emphasis in the group where it's supposed to be. Scorning produces anarchy. Anarchy destroys unity. Let me explain. If I have to correct behavior in the church, there's one primary reason why. And some of you need to learn this. This is very good for you if you're paying attention to what I'm saying. Look, if I have somebody, Brother Daniel sitting all the way in the back there. If Daniel was 9 and he was being a little booger back there and he was causing me all sorts of grief, but if nobody could see him, I may not correct it publicly. You say, why? Well, if nobody can see him and he's being ornery and I take the entire congregation and take their focus off the preaching of the Word of God, the devil just won. When he's all the way in the back, hey, I mean, if you want to goof off, now if there's nobody there and he's not disrupting anybody, I might let it go and go to him afterwards. But if little Danny boy was sitting here or here or here and everybody was watching him and he was being rebellious, and I said one time, now pay attention. Then I say again, now pay attention. There may come a point when I have to say, that's going to stop. You say, why? I've got to keep the unity. I got to let everybody know. I'm not going to let one person destroy what we stand for. People deserve to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And really, it's a devil getting into it. That doesn't mean little Danny boy went to the devil and said, how can we mess this service up? It just means he's dumb enough to go do what he wants, and the devil takes it and uses it. That's why I insist that there not be interruptions in the church service. I work that very, very hard. But the scorner, if you have to, I could take little Danny and I could say, if he were sitting right down front and he repetitively, I might finally have to say, Daniel, now sit up there and pay attention. You'll say, you're mean. Now, you can call me whatever you want. But I will not discipline unless I have been through a process. I don't want to discipline in the flesh. People can actually get irritated with me because I'm so patient. I'll wait. I've waited months before I've corrected things. And the people still get mad at me. But I wait and then try to be as gentle as possible. I'm not trying to hurt the person. But look, if they're misbehaving, if they're drawing attention away, then it becomes an issue. So smiting keeps the group's unity and keeps you from having anarchy. Let me give you a couple more about smiting and why. Smiting the scorner reinforces the importance to everybody of the rules. Everybody needs to know the rules will be respected. So in a Sunday school class, if someone repetitively seems to be foolish and misbehave, you may have to correct that somebody and be a little harsh with them, because you want everyone to know we're not going to have total anarchy here. Now look, if you brought your telephone into this service and it went off once, I'll say, that's a pizza. If it went off again, I'd say, you know what, Brother Nofsinger, you're getting old and you forgot. If his phone went off a third time, I may say, Jane, take the phone away from him. Well, I tell you, if it went off again, I'd say, carry him into outer darkness. He's being rebellious. Leave the stupid thing at home, but stop interrupting my church service. I can only make people laugh so many times about your disobedience. You say, that's mean. No, that keeps everything where it needs to be. And I'll tell you something. If I ever correct you, I promise you, I love you. I'm not your enemy. I'm mad at sin. I'm mad at wrong. Proper smiting trains other leaders on how to handle scorners. If I smite, other leaders can watch how I handle it, like I'm teaching tonight, and they'll say, aha, that's how you do it. I should not grab them by the throat. Proper smiting limits the devil's victories. I have never wanted to discipline anybody and make them into an enemy. There's nobody I've ever disciplined that I don't love, that I want to hurt. Now, there are people who don't like me because they pushed me and to the point where I finally had to say, please don't do that. Please, you can't act that way. But I was patient. Long term, I tried to be patient. I want to be the last person to give up on somebody. Now, what have I said? I said, there's the scorner. We described them. I said, there's a simple person. We described them. There's the smiter. We described them. What does it mean to smite? We've described it. Why smite? I've given you 8 or 9 reasons. Now, I'm going to conclude with this thought. Who should be the smiter? And I have dealt with this now throughout the lesson. I don't think the smiter is just anyone passing by. You're going by a situation and you think you're the ultimate leader and you just step in and take over and smite someone. I think you're probably doing the wrong thing. It's not just a passerby. It's not someone who heard secondhand about the scorning. I think it's someone that's done research. I think somebody that knows. It must be someone with the facts. It must be someone who has an established authority, by the way. You take, for instance, I've got Brother Dave is here. He's a bus captain. Brother Dave, I would say 99 times out of 100, you ought not be getting involved in smiting the scorner on Brother JV's bus route. And I don't think that JV ought to be smiting the scorner on yours. You know why? You know the person. You're less apt to do destructive damage. You could smite and it be done properly. So it has to be someone with the facts. It has to be an established authority. Folks, let me tell you something. Vigilante justice is wrong and not Christian. Lynch mobs are evil. You watch too much Gunsmoke. Where they're all, you know, everybody's got their guns and on their horses and we're going to run them down and we're going to hang them. We don't care if Matt Dillon wants to give them a trial. Then not supposed to work that way. Let me say something to parents. Parents, if your child is a scorner, we would all rather you smite them than us to have to smite them. You say, why? Because you'll get mad at us because we corrected your child. Now, there's some parents that are mature enough. Mrs. Owens and I said, you need to box my kids' ears? Box away, baby. We want them to turn out right. We didn't walk around offended all the time when somebody needed to correct our child. But a lot of parents aren't that way. Their child, they're just not going to let anybody correct them. And let me tell you something, you will not raise your child all by yourself and it turn out well. It takes a unit of people. That's why you have a New Testament church. But I'm trying to tell you, though, there's a right and a wrong way to do it. But parents, if you smite your child, and let me tell you something, if your child is rude to you at home, you're saying, my kid's a scorner with me. Well, don't be shocked if you don't hear they were a scorner somewhere else then. Don't be shocked. So, parents, if you would do the smiting, it would make it so others would not have to. Then, I think it would be great if the smiter had won the heart of the scorner before the smiting. Now, that's one of the techniques. That's something I do. If somebody needs corrected, and I don't know them well, you know what I begin to do? I start getting to know them. I start pulling up close. I joke. I laugh. I have a little fun with them. You say, oh, Pastor, you're doing that with me right now. Yeah. I've known people in my church that needed correction. They needed discipline, but I didn't feel like I was close enough yet. So I waited. And I waited, and I waited, and I worked on it. And finally, I felt like the attachment and the love had been proven to the point where I could say, look, I need you to correct something. But when they didn't know me well, and I jumped right in, I may have offended, and I may have prematurely cared for it. So, I think the smiter, it would be great if they had won the heart of the one that needs the correction. I would say this also about the smiter. You need to try to stay in your area of leadership. Brother Young, you run a children's church. I think if there's behavior that needs corrected in your children's church, you do it. Don't you go back and do the ones in Dave's children's church. And Dave, don't you do the ones in his. That's best. That's how it works best. I doubt there's anybody in here that would march in to your next door neighbor's house and smite their child. You say, well, it's not my business. Well, if you'll practice a little bit more of that, you'll do better in life. But these church services are under my control. Mine. Listen, mine. I can handle them. I know what to do. I know how to handle it. And so you have to let me do that. It is best if someone who has the ability to deeply love does the smiting. You say, why? You're not destroying people. It should not be someone who enjoys smiting. It should not be someone with a temper problem, because it becomes abusive and unjust. Say, they got on my nerves. Then get your nerves under control. That's what you need to do. Now, am I for smiting? Absolutely. Under control. Scripturally. And if you do it that way, you will be fine. And listen, let me tell you something. We are rearing a group of young Christians. That's what churches are supposed to do. Don't you think on the day of Pentecost, can you picture how many people must have been there if there were 3,000 saved? You ever been anywhere where 3,000 came and all 3,000 got saved? There were far more than 3,000 people present. Do you think there is a slight chance that there might have been some misbehavior in the crowd? Is there a chance of it? 3,000, no PA system? Okay, listen, we have to, when you're growing people, there's a certain patience that's necessary. You just can't get somebody saved and they're overnight successes and they know how to behave. But let me tell you the difference. I am more apt to believe that our teenagers that have been in our church for years are scorners and some of the bus kids. You say, why? Haven't we trained our kids how to behave? Haven't they heard it over and over and over and over and over again? Haven't they been trained? Sure. What do you think about the bus kid that walks in here that's never been to church and just got saved and his mom and dad are living the wild life? Are they scorners or could they possibly be simple? They don't know. They're not sure. They don't know. You say, behave like you're supposed to in church, and they're going, oh, but I could look down at Brandon and say, Brandon, behave like you're supposed to in church. And by the way, that's one of the best behaved boys you'll ever meet in your life. He knows how to behave. He knows what that means. I could say it to somebody else and they'll say, I'm not really sure. So you have to understand, the better trained you are, the more apt you are to be a rejecter of training. You can't reject what you've not been trained to do. Well, I told him once. My goodness, I wonder how many times God's told you. Think about your besetting issue. Or would you like me to point it out? See me in person. I can tell you what it is. I wonder how many times God's needed to correct you. But the scripture says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. There is a growth that takes place. I don't want to smite anybody and lose them. You want to smite and keep for the sake of growth. That is if you love. If you love. If it's all about you and how they were disconcerting to you and they frustrated you, you. Well, did you know something? It's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Leaders, get this. Young people, don't be a scorner. Don't be a scorner. Don't make somebody correct you over and over and over again about the very same thing. You know better. Leaders, if the time to smite comes, remember how to handle yourself. Try to train first, love first, build the relationship which you can. Sometimes we may have to do it just to salvage the unity of a meeting. But we shouldn't want to do it. It ought to be a last resort. But it comes from repetitive disregard for expected rules. That's when you finally try to fix it. And then you do it scripturally. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I think I've learned something that will help me this evening. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, you're welcome to come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Children, young people, make sure you're not a scorner. Make sure that you don't disrupt. Make sure that you don't draw attention away from right and that you're not doing wrong in your life. Don't be foolish. Don't be a scorner. Parents, Sunday school teachers, leaders, bus workers, bus captains, oh, be careful. Be careful how you handle people. I'm always going to start believing that they're either wise or simple. I want them to almost force me to believe that they are rebellious. I've virtually got to see that attitude of the scorner before I would dare do the correcting. And I will tell you this, some people, you correct them, they will show you whether that's what they are or not based on how they react. Somebody ever, if you say, I got disciplined like I was a scorner and I'm not, then let them see that you're not. React to the injustice as a wise person. React to the injustice like you care. Don't react like a rebel. Ushers, if you have copies of the prayer bulletin, we'll get them passed out here. This is the last time through the song, Mrs. Young, but play through and then we'll check our prayer bulletin. Tell you what, the boys in that Sunday school class never forgot it. They might have thought I came in and lost it. I didn't come in and lose anything. I came in and did what I planned to do. Obeyed the scripture. Smote the scorner, the simple. They learned to beware. The wise people said, oh, I'm glad I'm on good terms with my preacher. God bless you. You can have a seat there.